are here in the sanctuary. And if you have a prayer request, we'd like to have you mention that this morning, and we'll take time to have prayer here. Anyone? Yes. Brother Bill?
Yeah. Deep prayer for you. The 7th of the week, I failed the test that my heart got big, right? And it seemed to stop it. And it was me one less bit and a week or a minute. And then that's what they're looking at now.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Bill. We'll pray. We do pray for you, but we'll pray for you this morning, too. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us, that we can come into your house and worship you and to give thanks to you and to bring our needs before you. We today know that you hear us when we cry to you, because your word has told us that you hear us. And so we bring these requests before you, asking you to work in them according to your own wisdom and will. And we ask that you'd be with us as we study this Sunday school lesson today. Lord, may our hearts be in tune with you and not just our lips, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38, and we're going to study starting in verse 14. But before we get to there, the nation of Judah faced a lot of problems here, and of course, God had called Jeremiah, called Isaiah before. He called Jeremiah at this time to share with the people what they should do in order to maybe avert the problems that were coming from the outside. The Babylonians were in the process of making war against them. And so Jeremiah warned the Jewish people as to what God was about to do. Sometimes we get warnings that we don't pay much attention to, and that's what had happened here. Of course, Isaiah had warned them about 100 years before Jeremiah came on the scene about their sinful state, about what they were doing that went against what God's oath that He had made with them was for. And so, in Jeremiah's case, we learn from the first chapter that Jeremiah was called before his mother even thought about him. God had a plan for Jeremiah to do the work of sharing with the nation what they should do. There was a work of repentance. And so, Jeremiah went about doing that work. Now, Jeremiah recognized that he was not going to be liked for saying what he said, for the message that he was bringing forth. And he was worried that his life was going to be in danger. In fact, it was in danger. But God had promised him that he's going to take care of him. There were several kings that Jeremiah worked under, about five, I believe. But nevertheless, this was not a quick thing. This was a long period of time that Jeremiah gave this warning to the people of God. And, we today on our television can see the wrath of God still being poured out on the nation of Israel. As much as we love Israel, God's punishment is still there because they're not serving Him. So it's just as plain as it can be. The fact was that that Jeremiah was really serving under King Zedekiah, is what he was named. He was given that name by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. His real name was Mattaniah, and he had renamed him, named him Zedekiah. And so Zedekiah ruled in Judah, the northern kingdom, and he was ruling when Jeremiah was prophesying. And even though Zedekiah wasn't really serving the Lord as he should, he had a respect for this prophet, Jeremiah. And so he would call him to confer with him to see if he could find out what God was saying. You know, there's some people that want to know what God is saying even though they are not going to obey it. They're just not. I talked with a young man not too long ago that he said, I know what I'm doing is not right. I know that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But, you know, sometimes people just are going to do what they're going to do. And that's kind of the way the nation of the northern kingdom of Israel was. They were saying, hey, I want to know. Zedekiah said, I want to know what God is saying, but in his heart he was saying, I'm not going to follow him. Twice in Judah's last few months, Zedekiah called Jeremiah to ask him what was going on. We'll start here, if you would, in verse 14, 38:14. It says, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry, that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. In other words, I want you to tell me what God is saying and not pull any punches. Just tell me what God's saying. I want to know what God's saying. So what he did, he made a promise to him later on, that, and we'll find that out, that he's not going to harm Jeremiah if he tells him the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He said, I want you to tell me the truth. And so this third entry it talks about here is probably the back door to the temple. It's probably a secret place that he could have Jeremiah to come in and all the people wouldn't see him come in, wouldn't see Jeremiah come in to talk to the king. But the king is wanting to get some word from the Lord. The king apparently wanted this private meeting with Jeremiah so that he wouldn't get in trouble with the people of Judah that he was trying to appease. You know, politicians sometimes are like that. They want to get in good position with everybody. Well, sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you just can't be in good standing with everybody. And that's the way this was. There was not very much about the first talk that they had together, but nevertheless, Zedekiah repeatedly called Jeremiah and said, hey, what's God saying? What's his verdict, so to speak, on what's happening here? And Jeremiah just told him. He told him exactly what God is saying. Let's look at verse 15. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah the king, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken to me? Or if I tell you what God is saying, will you listen to what I've got to say? Well, he would listen, but he wasn't going to obey it. And that's the crux of the matter, so to speak. But Jeremiah had reason to worry about his life, even though God had told him that he was going to take care of him. And it's natural for us to fear for our natural lives. That's something that's just built in us. If there's problems around us, that we have a certain amount of fear. And Jeremiah certainly did fear. God had given him many, many assurances that he's going to protect him, yet Jeremiah still was afraid. Jeremiah knew that Zedekiah, in his heart, didn't really like him. You know, it's one thing to listen to what somebody has to say, but the prophet also knew that there was not going to be a good word come from God, because there was sin in the camp. And God had called him from before his mother's womb to reveal his will to the people, and he knew that since there was sin in the camp, what he had to say wasn't going to be received very well. Let's look at 16, please. So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah. In other words, they're having this private talk now. And Zedekiah says to Jeremiah, "As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of those men that seek thy life." See, there were other people in the kingdom of Judah that didn't like what Jeremiah is saying. And they have ought against him. They want to take his life, to silence him, so to speak, so that they don't have to listen to it. I talked to Brother Larry Williams not too long ago. He goes out to the Legion a lot. And, of course, he's the chaplain at the Legion. And he said, I was out there preaching to them, and that one fellow said to me, "I don't like what you have to say, and I don't want to hear it." Well, the fellow was just being honest. Really, that's the way a lot of the world is. I don't like what you're saying, and I don't want to hear it. And so Brother Larry said, "Well, I'm sorry, but being the chaplain, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm doing." You know, he could have said, "Well, okay, now I just won't say anything." But being like Jeremiah, he had a message. He has a message to give, and he's given it. And so the king is swearing secretly to Jeremiah, "Hey, I'm not going to do anything to hurt you, and I'm not going to allow anybody else to do it." Well, some things are just not under our control. We might think we know how to do it, but we can't. Whether or not Zedekiah was sincere is a question. Evidently, he wasn't too sincere, because we're going to see a little bit longer, farther here in this lesson, that he allowed things to happen that probably shouldn't have let happen. The king acknowledged that God was actually the one who has control of life and death. And that's still true today. Even though a lot of people don't like to believe it, still our lives are actually in the will of God. God is the one who calls the shots. How many of you have ever seen somebody that was right at the brink of death, and yet they came back and are alive today even? You know, they just, it wasn't time. We say that. It wasn't time. And it wasn't God's time to take them yet. Let's look at verse 17. And this is kind of a private thing. Then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel." He's talking about God. This is what God is saying. Jeremiah didn't ask what Zedekiah wanted to hear. He's saying, "This is what God wants you to hear." And this is what God is saying. In fact, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. I want to read you a verse here. I know that you know this verse. You've heard it over and over. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. This is the way Jeremiah felt. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him," talking about Jeremiah saying this, "I will not make mention of him," talking about God, "nor speak any more in his name, but his words were in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing that I could not stay. In other words, God's word was so hot inside me, I couldn't keep from telling it. I couldn't keep from telling what God... I'm sure that some of you have had that experience where the Holy Spirit would just begin to pour out of you what you feel inside about God and what He's done for you. It's a pleasure, isn't it, to tell someone about what Jesus has done for you. You know, you want to do that. And so Jeremiah said, this message was like fire in my bones. I couldn't keep from saying how good God had been to me. He was referring to the God of Israel. Let's look at the middle of 17. And thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes. He's telling Zedekiah now what's going to happen to him. Then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thy house. In other words, if you will give yourself to the king of Babylon and be his servant, then you're going to live and things are going to be well with you and with your family. You know, it's one thing to be responsible for yourself. It's another thing to be responsible for your family or for friends around you. And so Zedekiah has received this message. Or Jeremiah had received this message from God and given it to Jeremiah. If you will do what I'm telling you, what God's telling you, then you'll be okay. But he didn't want to do that. You know, we don't know for sure whether God would have repented like he did with Nineveh at the preaching of Jonah when Jeremiah said, "Hey, you know, if you'll do this, this is going to be well with you." But most likely he would have, because God is a merciful God. Always merciful God. And so the Lord did offer a solution to the problem. It's just like us today. God offers us solutions to the problem. It's whether or not we will take the advice and do what God wants to say, what God is saying to us. And so as Christians, we need to listen to what God is saying. We know that of course, that Zedekiah, from this lesson, we know that he didn't do what Jeremiah asked him to do. Let's look at verse 18. But if thou wilt go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city... And then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand. Now, Zedekiah thought he could. We find out a little bit later that he did not, was not successful in escaping the vengeance of the Lord. Beyond Zedekiah's lack of character here, he was also a sinful man, and he didn't want to ask God to forgive him of his sins and follow God. Though God can change his mind, he clearly stated what was going to happen here if things continued as they were. Verse 19, and Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen into the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands and they mock me. Now here's this king saying, I'm afraid of these Jews that have already sided with the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, because I think what they will do is to catch me and deliver me to the king and cause me to be tormented. I'll tell you what, that wouldn't be a pretty sight if you know something about some of the tortures that the Babylonians did to those people that they captured. And that's what he was afraid of. He thought maybe he could get by without being caught. And so he would not deliver himself to God and allow God to do what he wanted to do in his life. I think he would have been wise to have been like David. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord because he's merciful. Man is not merciful, but God is. And so that's what I think he was really afraid of, was the people, not afraid of God. He should have been afraid of God. Let's look at verse 20 real quickly here as we move along. But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord." What he's saying to Zedekiah is, listen, Zedekiah, listen to what God is saying to you instead of the people. And we can say that same thing today. As God's people, we can say, listen to what God has to say to you instead of what man has to say to you. You know, there are a lot of voices in the world today, aren't there? Everybody wants you to tell you what to do. Some tell you to wear a mask, some tell you not to wear a mask. Some tell you to do this, some tell you to do that. Hey, if you want to know what to do, ask God what to do and let him direct you in his word what to do about everything. And so Zedekiah tried to make an issue out of what was being said here and make it like a political matter instead of a spiritual matter. He didn't have anything to do, want to have anything to do with the spiritual part of it. So true today a lot of times, isn't it? Obedience to the Lord was Zedekiah's only source of relief. That's the only way he could find relief, was to do it God's way, but he didn't want to do that at all. And so we know that he had this rebellious spirit. Zedekiah was captured. This is what happened to him, and we're going to see that a little bit later. He was captured trying to escape, and the king of Babylon brought all of his sons before him and killed them before Zedekiah's eyes, then punched out his eyes so that all he had to remember was the death of his family. Terrible, terrible thing. I can't imagine something like that. Now, that was some of the punishments that the Babylonians would do to their prisoners of war, so to speak. We're supposed to be more advanced today and not treat our prisoners that way. Well, that is some of us. Maybe. If you get captured by the Muslims, don't plan on them having too much mercy on you. No. Especially if they know you're a Christian. I know that's not popular, but it's true. It's true. A lot of people suffering today because of the name of Christ. But if you refuse, 21, but if you refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me, verse 22, and behold, all the women that are left in the king's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and these women shall say, here's what the women are going to do. Really, they're going to mock you. Thy friends have set on thee and have prevailed against thee, and thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. That's what they're going to say to you, Zedekiah. Your enemies, the Babylonians, have captured you, and you can't do anything about it. And now then, because you've been hard-headed and hard-hearted and not listened to God, we are in trouble. You know, when I read this, I thought, as I've seen several times on the television, the women and children trying to escape the ravages of war. It's a terrible sight. The men are armed, but most of the time the women are not armed, and the children. And they suffer because they have no protection at all. And it's still true today. It's still true today. Jeremiah painted this picture for Zedekiah and for his family and for those in his kingdom, things that were going to happen to them. And yet he hardened his heart, would not listen to what Jeremiah had to say. And verse 23 says, so they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, And thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. He's talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was set on fire because Zedekiah would not listen to what Jeremiah had to say at all and save his family and his people. Sometimes people just, their hearts just get hard enough that they won't do that. When I thought of the situation here with Zedekiah, I thought about Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. Even his own people were saying, "Don't you see that the land of Egypt is destroyed after the plagues came?" And yet his heart was so hard that he didn't want to let the people go. And that's kind of the way it was with Zedekiah. Zedekiah thought maybe he could escape the punishment by sneaking out by night and running away. But we know that that didn't happen. They caught him. Let's go a little farther here. Jeremiah built his prophecies by emphasizing that this was the word of the Lord. This was God's word to this king, Zedekiah. And he should listen to what God had to say. Maybe you have a question or a thought here about this lesson this morning. Listen to what God is saying. And not only listen to what God is saying, but do what God is saying. Through Christ, we all always have an out. We have a way of escape. And that is by asking His forgiveness of whatever we've done wrong, and He will cleanse us and make us pure. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I want to read that to you this morning before we close. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds or a prisoner, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul is saying, pray for me that I'll be able to do what God wants me to do. That should be our prayer for ourselves and for each other as well. Pray for me that I'll be able to do what God wants me to do and to do it as He would have me to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this lesson today. We ask, Lord, that You would cause it to be a part of our lives, that we would listen to what You have to say and obey it. We pray, Lord, that You'd be with us in the remaining parts of the services that will be done here and for those around the world where Your name is being lifted up and preached. We ask Your blessings upon those that bring the message and upon those that receive it. Now, Lord, we ask that You'd be with our nation. Keep us healthy and strong and able to serve You with all of our heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?